Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Focus Point Podcast. I'm really glad you decided to give us a listen. I hope that the words that you hear will encourage you and bless you. I encourage you also to share this with your family and your friends. If you need more information, you can head over to thepointoffocus.com where you'll find other podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and just some more general information about our ministry. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. Well, we are continuing on in our dreams series. If you have a copy of the Bible, paper or electronic, get it open. We will be in Genesis 39. And I'm excited to continue on in this series as we continue to look at Joseph's life. And where we left Joseph a little bit last week, we talked about how our dreams aren't always valued. And how that's not a negative thing, but it can be a tough thing to navigate. It can be hard on us to navigate that kind of thing when loved ones and friends and all of that don't really see our dreams the way we see them. We saw Joseph share his dreams and he got a couple different responses. One, his brothers laughed at him, told him he was crazy and thought he we're going to be king. Is that what you're telling us? His dad, Jacob, responded in similar fashion, but he also then thought about it a little bit. Well, what does this all mean? But it just shows that dreams aren't always valued, but we saw it two different times. We saw the phrase, but Joseph succeeded because the Lord was with him. It started off the story in Genesis 37, and it ended our text in Genesis 37. And so now we're going to pick up where we left off with this series and this story. And we're going to be in Genesis 39. We're going to go through most of this chapter. And we're going to see some things here that I believe God wants us to learn and God wants us to know about and God wants us to talk about. So let's just start. Let's read Genesis 39. We'll start in verse 1. And it says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, if you remember, that's where our episode ended last week. Genesis 37 ends with pretty much the same text. Genesis 38 kind of takes a different, and we pick back up, takes a different way a little bit, and we pick back up the story here. And then here we see it again. The Lord, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From that day, Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and the crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Now, we see kind of what's happening here. Remember, the Lord was with Joseph. He succeeded. And so now we're seeing how Joseph is pretty much being blessed even after what happened to him. Is still not quite sure what the dreams meant. We talked a little bit about that last week. It's clear in the dreams that it's obvious he's going to be in some kind of position of power and that his brothers were going to come and worship him and even bow down to him. And so was his dad eventually. That's what both the dreams we saw in Genesis 37 meant. And so now we're kind of seeing this, but Joseph still is not, you know, making sense of a lot of things, but he's succeeding, and Potiphar's succeeding, so he's pretty much second in command of everything under Potiphar. So we continue on here in verse 6, where it says, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Now we have this situation, and this is where we're kind of going to get into what we're talking about today. And it, so verse 7, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household." Now there's something there, right? Not only was he trusting him with his affairs administratively, his livestock, his finances and all of that kind of stuff. He was also trusting him with anything else in his household, his wife, the servant, whatever, right? So that's why I think that's important that Joseph says, "Look, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household." Verse 9, "No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be such a great sin against God." She kept pressuring Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of her way as much as possible. On one day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and she grabbed him by the cloak, demanding, "Come sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hands as he ran from the house. When she saw she was holding his cloak and that he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. "Look," she said, "my husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make a fool out of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away, but he left his cloak behind with me." She kept the cloak until her husband came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you brought in the house tried to come and fool around with me," she said. "But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me." So now we've got a big, big situation here. And the idea of this is just kind of similar. It's like what his brothers did even. Like you can kind of call back like each one of these steps in Joseph's story. Although they seem to be repetitive, especially if you're very familiar with Joseph's story, you know each kind of segment of his story is kind of repetitive in nature. But this one is kind of like, look, his door's closed, and his coat with his brothers was used to make Jacob believe that he had died. And now his coat here is being used to frame him for something that he did not do. And so we're going to see here what happens, and then we're kind of going to unpack a little bit more. So verse 19, it says, "Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused him to succeed and caused everything he did to succeed." Okay, so now that's kind of, once again, we're going into now the next part of Joseph's story, kind of as like, not really a cliffhanger, but so Joseph is in prison. This was his punishment. But as we can kind of see, so Joseph was this way with his brothers, kind of like low. And then he got sold into slavery. And then he came up really high. And then he went back down to prison, right? And now he's kind of going back up again, being in charge of everything. But what I think God wants us to see here is that we shouldn't change to succeed at our goals. We shouldn't change to succeed at our dreams, to achieve our goals, to whatever it is. We shouldn't change who we are and what we're doing. Now, Joseph had, and it's clear in this story, Joseph had everything. There was really no like higher that he could go by sleeping with Potiphar's wife. Now, it's possible that there was something else. Maybe if he slept with her, she would kind of this, and it would make him be able to overthrow Potiphar or something like that. But it's really not explicitly stated. And in this particular story, in this moment, we understand that Joseph has more than anything he could ask for. And there's really no need to take this step. There's nothing that really Potiphar's wife could offer him. But how that translates forward into time, how that translates into our lives, is sometimes we can be tempted to cut corners to try and achieve our goals. We saw it with Abraham when he was trying to achieve the plans and the dreams and the goals that God said he would do by taking a step out of what he believed to be right. And so now Joseph has the same opportunity. And here's the thing with this is God doesn't want us to do that. God is with us and we'll succeed at everything that we do. It's clear in the Bible. Like, that is like the most repetitive phrase in the last two chapters of the book of Genesis that we read. Genesis 37 and Genesis 39, at least four or five times has mentioned that the Lord was with Joseph and he succeeded. That's got to be something that God wants us to hear. And I can't go past it anymore, but that's how we succeed. Once Abraham realized it, right? Abraham started to succeed. God's plan started coming into play, and he was that father of many nations. He was blessed by God and anybody that, all of that in the covenant, and he was, the earth was blessed through his, one of his descendants, Jesus. And so now the same kind of thing is happening with Joseph. And the same thing can happen with us. The Lord is with us and we can succeed at anything that we do. That's why I've said it's so important to not leave God out of things. The Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14 that we read, the foundation text of this series, tells us that that the Lord will be found with us. That it says, I will be found with you. That we need to go with God as we try to achieve our dreams. But when we take these sidesteps, it doesn't happen. We see stories in the news all the time of businessmen, businesswomen, any kind of things. We hear it at your job, coworkers, and all of this stuff, and these big shady things that happen, even with pastors in churches and things like that. You know, they try to get a leg up, or they try to get a promotion, and they make a decision that goes against what they believe is right. Goes against their integrity, and it jeopardizes everything, right? Like they want to get this promotion, so they decide that they're going to do what they have to do, whether that's cheat the books, whether that's put money in places it's not supposed to be to make it look better than what it is, whether it's sleeping with somebody to try and get a leg up. But what I also know about those stories is, yeah, sometimes it works out with no problems, but a majority of the time, it comes back to bite you. It comes back to get you. And you hear it in those stories, not necessarily you, but them. Like, it comes back and it blows up in their face. They wind up losing their job and having to start over, and it causes a big, big problem. And I believe that's what could have happened to Joseph. Like, he could have done that, and she still could have told on him. And she still would have wound up in jail. Or eventually she would have turned on him, or all of this stuff. Anything could have happened. You know, we see it in our modern day. Maybe it's even happened to you. Maybe something has changed. You've gone against what you believe, or you've changed your mind, or you've stepped over just a little bit out of what you thought was what you believe is right, and you wound up in a mess. You know, kind of, it, once again, using Abraham as we kind of go through this. And that's what's good about the Bible. When we trek through the Bible, we can kind of see some similarities in these stories. Abraham took a step off to the right to help God succeed in his goal. So he slept with his wife's servant Hagar and had Ishmael just so he would have a descendant to pass on all his stuff to. But that's not what God wanted. God was going to bless him. God was going to do what he said. God keeps his promises. So what I see out of this is that God is with us. Don't leave God out of it. God is with us and we'll succeed at everything we do. We just got to wait for God to do it. And that's kind of leading into what we're going to talk about a little bit next week, because waiting's hard. But We just have to go with God and we'll succeed. It's been shown a lot of times. We see it in businesses and in all of this where people are going along just fine. And then somebody comes along and makes the business go off course, the head people go off course. And all of a sudden they're way over here, away from what they had planned, away from anything. And all of a sudden it's just a big mess and it's not what they envisioned. Churches and pastors and all of that stuff fall into that same kind of thing. Over the last couple years, I've seen some very sad stories about pastors and churches winding up having critical problems because of something that the main pastor did. And it's come out, and now all of a sudden everything's in turmoil. Now people feel like they've been deceived and, you know, all of that. And it turns into a big mess. And it's hard to recover from those kind of things. And even just in personal lives. Like I've said this entire series, we've said that we can take God. We can go toward God or we can go away from God. We can take steps toward our dreams or away from our dreams. Everything that we do affects what we're doing. Right? I mean, that's kind of a redundant statement, but that's true. So everything Joseph was doing, he was doing it right. He was staying with God. God was with him and he was succeeding. But if he'd have stepped off, what would have happened to his story? How would it have been different? And what has happened? Would it have ended the same way? Would Potiphar have had him killed instead of just thrown in jail? So it all really comes down to it. And so God is with us. God will help us succeed. We need to keep God in our plans. We need to go with God for our plans, to achieve our goals, to achieve our dreams. And it seems kind of hard to do without it because God tells us in the Bible that he orders our steps. Our plans are good, but God orders our steps, and God's got big plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11, as I said, our foundational verse tells us that God has good plans for us, that he doesn't want us to end in disaster. He doesn't want our problems to be like, he doesn't want us to have problems, really. He knows we're going to, because Jesus tells us that in this world we will have trouble. But God tells us that he's got good plans for us, plans to give us a hope in a future, not disastrous things. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want us to have bad outcomes in things. He wants us to be with him. He doesn't want to be left out of our plans. And our second thing that we see is just don't change to reach your goals. Because if it works, well, then it's tainted and you achieved your goals in a dishonest way or in a cheating kind of way or in a, you know, a backhanded kind of way or undermining kind of, whatever it is. And that just eventually will leave a sour taste in your mouth. So don't change. Don't like alter your beliefs or your goals or whatever to achieve what you want. Or what your goals are, or what your plans are, or what your dreams are. Because God is with us for it. And he doesn't want us to change. And that's one thing we can learn from Joseph here, is that he didn't change what he believed. He knew it would be wrong. If we go back and we look and we see, he said it would be not only against Potiphar, he trusted me with everything. Why would I jeopardize that? It's pretty much what he's saying. Then in verse 9, it says, no one has more authority except for you. But he's not held anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. And how could I do a wicked thing? It would be a sin against God. So he knows what's going on. He knows where his success is coming from. So that's my encouragement for you guys today. That's my encouragement for me. Is to not change. And it's easier said than done. You know, we can sit here and we can say, yeah, Joseph did that. And it's all, but it's really difficult when it comes down to it. It's really hard to stay on the right path. As, like I said, as we saw with Abraham, like he wanted to achieve the goal. He wanted to achieve the dream, the vision, the plan that God had for him. So he altered his steps and wound up taking longer. So, as we see here at the end, we see that Joseph is in prison. And in prison, he becomes successful as well. And that's going to kind of lead into our next story. So take this encouragement with you. God is with you. God will help you succeed. We can't really succeed without God. Jesus tells us that apart from the vine, apart from Jesus, we can't do anything anyway. And don't change. Don't change to achieve something that will eventually just probably leave a sour taste. Those are the encouragements. So we'll continue Joseph's story next week. And I hope to see you then. Can't wait to continue this series next week.